Welcome to the Cigar Lounge, the official podcast of the Cigar Peg, where you get to know your friends a little better, learn a little bit more about each other, and grow as a community. Today, we welcome Lindsay Adams into the Cigar Lounge. Lindsay, how is it down under?
Joe, it's an absolute pleasure to be here, and the weather is amazing. It's spring. It's starting to get warm, and looking forward to summer.
So you can rub it in that we're going into fall and winter.
Exactly.
I wish I was in the land of kangaroos and koalas. I wish that anyway, because then I could hang with you. So, Lindsay, would you start by telling us a little bit about what it is that you do as a speaker and as business, so people know?
Okay. So I'm known around the world as the relationships guy. Relationships is something that just come easily to me. And relationships pretty much underpin everything that we do in business. So if you think about it, if you want to be a great leader, got to be in relationship with your people. Want to be in a team that works, got to be in relationship with the people you work with. Want to sell stuff to other people, got to get into relationship with them. So that's kind of what I do. I teach people how to get into relationship quickly, how to leverage those relationships to get more business. And when COVID came, I mean, I've been speaking for 22 years. When COVID came, all that fell over 2 years ago, and I had a range of behavioral assessment tools, which I had a license for. And so I did the magic pivot word, and I pivoted, and I'm now really pressing hard on marketing those behavioral assessment tools, because again, it's all about relationships, understanding people, bringing out the best in people. So that's, you know, in a short couple of words, that's what I do.
And I know when I first met you, you had the book, The DNA of Relationships, and you now have a new book.
Yeah, I've just finished writing Why Do People Act Like That? Understanding why my team doesn't work and how do teams fail. And essentially, the origin of the book, I was looking around. One of the tools that I sell is the DISC assessment. And DISC, as you know, has been around for a long time. And I was looking for some good texts, you know, books that I could recommend to my clients. And I found that no one in Australia has, there's no Australian text. No one's written a book about DISC. So I solved that problem.
Good for you.
Just about to go to print, just about to press the print button. so I'm pretty excited about that.
So when this podcast airs, you might actually be a second author, second publisher.
Correct. Right? I absolutely will be. Yep.
Awesome. Lindsay, let me ask you this. How did you start speaking? Where did that come about in your life?
Ooh, that's a good question. I used to work in the Australian Taxation Office. And I was a team leader in audit. So you name it, I've done it. Serving summonses, collecting debts, auditing books of account, all the charming stuff. So I was a team leader in audit. I went on a manager development program. It was a 9-month extravaganza. We started off with a week's residential at a beautiful resort north of Brisbane. We did a 3-month work placement. Then we did a week's residential at the Byron Bay Beach Resort. Byron Bay might be a name that some of our listeners will recognize. 3 hours south on the coast in New South Wales. Beautiful place. Another 3-month work placement. A week on Stradbroke Island just off the coast of Brisbane. Another 3-month work placement. At the third residential workshop, end of day one, the facilitator says, "Okay, boys and girls, we're done. Dinner's at 7. Lindsay, have you got a minute?" And I went to him and said, "Yeah, how can I help?" He said, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "I'm a team leader in audit. I got a bunch of auditors who work for me." He said, "I know that. Why are you here? You're not like these people." And Joe, that guy held up a mirror for me and helped me understand I was in the wrong job. I'm not an auditor. I'm a people person. And so one of my placements in that project was in training, and I looked around and went, "Wow, I like this. I'm good at this." And I stepped out of audit sideways and I went into training. And that was kind of the birth of my speaking career. And I can remember the day.
Let me just make sure I understand. So you went from audit to training. You're still in the taxation office?
In the tax office. Yeah.
Okay.
I spent the first 12 months training graduates how to be good auditors. And from there, I branched out into more and more generalist HR stuff. And there was one afternoon I was standing, I can still picture the moment. I was in a hotel across the road from our office in the city. The afternoon sun's coming through the window and I am entertaining a crowd, Joe. I had them in the palm of my hand. They were laughing. They were listening to every word I said. And I had this epiphany, this moment, and I went, this is what I want to do. And that was kind of, you know, but it was all as a result of that question. And I call that a catalyst moment in my life.
Right.
This guy who asked me this question. Now I'm going to get a bit woo-woo. 10 yeah. years later, I've left government. I've joined the National Speakers Association, which is now called Professional Speakers Australia here. I've been the national president. I've been the international president. And I thought I should find this guy and let him know what he's created.
And?
Joe, well, I just wanted to thank him.
No, I said, and what did you do?
And I can't find him. He has disappeared.
Wow.
I've been to his house. He no longer lives at that house. I can't find him on LinkedIn, on Facebook, in the phone book. I searched everywhere, Joe. He has disappeared.
So, Lindsay, maybe he's not real. Maybe he was a figment of your imagination, your subconscious talking to you. That's really weird. And have you given up looking for him?
Yeah. I mean, one of my spiritual friends in the US said maybe he was an angel.
Well, you know, I could have gone there, but I went with
take your own interpretation. But Joe,
but it worked. Anyway. Well, so now you move that from there. You're now professionally speaking during those years. Who would you consider to be one of your biggest supporters or role model? Who is it you leaned on the most to say, hey, I'm going to get here?
Okay. There was a guy in my local chapter. His name's Keith Abraham. That probably won't mean anything to any of our listeners. Keith was my mentor and today's my mate. He took me under his wing. And there's myself and another guy, George Manolis, a Greek guy. And we went everywhere together. We were joined at the hip initially. And Keith took the both of us under his wing and guided us. And when I said to him, Keith, I'm going to go full time, this was in the year 2000, he said, right, you and Debbie, my wife, come out of my house. We'll sit down at the kitchen table. There'll be me, Christine and Jill. Now, Christine was his wife. Jill was his sister-in-law. They worked together. And he said, we'll answer any question that you got. And he said, one thing though. And I said, what's that? And he said, don't come unprepared.
And I
went with my little list of questions. And that guy was so generous to me when I started out. And, you know, I could ring him right now. I could get on the phone right now. And he'd go, what's up, mate? How can I help? And that's the kind of guy he is. Okay. And I mean, he's got a kick-ass business, let me tell you. He's doing really, really well still. You know, I have the utmost respect for him.
Well, and okay, so when you first started speaking, did you first start talking about relationships? Where did that come from?
No, I really didn't know what the hell I was going to talk about. And there's a great book written by a guy called Robert Cialdini called Influence, the Psychology of Persuasion. Mm-hmm. And when I decided I was leaving government, one of my mates said to me, so what are you going to do? And I said, I'm going to be a speaker. And he said, what are you going to speak on? And I said, yeah, I'm not sure. And he said, you know what? He said, I read this book. He said, it's you. You do this stuff so well. And so I read Cialdini's book and I created a speech based on his six laws of influence. And so I christened myself Australia's influence expert. The only problem was I didn't know how to sell back then. And so I didn't sell too much of that. But what I did do initially was I did a lot of team building because that's what I knew from my government days. And I created a brand called Teamocracy. And for the first many, many years, I did a lot of team building stuff. Wasn't where I aimed, but that's where I ended up.
All right. And let me, as you went through your career, what would you say was the biggest mistake or failure you ever experienced?
I've had a couple of partnerships. It's a lonely business, you know, where we're all, a lot of us are solopreneurs. I work from home now. I work with my wife, Debbie. A lot of our listeners have met Debbie. But I've had staff. I aligned myself with a couple of other people. We actually entered into formal partnerships. I had two experiences like that, and two of the worst experiences of my life. And so I don't do any of that anymore. If I get busy, uber busy, get a big project, I've got a really good network now in Australia, around the world, and I'll ring up a couple of mates and I'll say, hey Joe, what you up to? I've got this big project. You want to come play? Yeah, sure, great. And then when we're done, that was fun, wasn't it? Thanks a lot. See you next time. Okay, bye. And so I can expand quickly and I can contract quickly, and that just suits me fine.
Beautiful. Let me move on. I want to talk about the Lindsay Adams day. When do you work best? Morning, night? When do you get the most work done?
I'm best, most productive in the morning. I get up early. I like to go. I used to run. I used to be a distance runner, and I ran marathons. The problem is I've buggered my feet. I've got nerve damage. Every time your foot hits the ground, there's nerves that run between the bones in your feet, and the bones bang on the nerves. And now I've got this numb sensation in my toes, and it won't go away. It's from nerve damage. And so I've given up running. I'll walk. Okay. First up in the morning, I'll walk. Walk for an hour and a bit. I come home, I'll have breakfast. And I've got a home office. This is it. Wait a minute. You can see it, but they can't. I'm in my home office and clear my email. It just depends. Usually I try, I'm a great believer in blocking time in your diary, you know, so I allocate time to do stuff, you know. I find that's, I'm really good at bright, shiny objects, you know, oh, look at that. And I can sit down to clear my email, and 3 hours later I've gone, wait a minute, what happened there? I've gone down, you know, some rabbit hole, chasing a bright, shiny object. So I've got to be disciplined with that stuff. So I try to put it in my diary, and I try to live by my diary. And the other thing is, I've got an amazing, wife who works with me. Now, we have this little term in our business. She has permission to nag. And so what that means is Debbie keeps me on track. She's got a copy of my diary, of course. And so when I'm moving about, she'll call me or I'll check in. You know, I've gone and done a presentation somewhere, and I'll call in and she'll go, how'd it go? And I went, oh, it was amazing. They wanted to have my, you know, they love me so much. They want to have my baby. I wish they were all like that, Joe. Anyway, and she'll say, that's great. Have you called Joe Casillo yet? Have you sent that email to Ed Rigsby? Have you? And like, she keeps me on track. Now, she's my personal cheer squad. When I do something great, she goes, yay. And when I get a kick in the nuts, you know, kick in the guts and fall down, she picks me up, dusts me off, gives me a hug and goes, come on, Dale, you're fine. Off you go. You know, tomorrow's another day. And so it's a neat relationship that we have.
And
we really support each other.
And she's a magnificent woman. And I think that would be a fun episode to do on Lindsay Adams's Shepherd.
Yeah.
And people like her more than you, so we don't want to do that.
Yeah, it's the truth. Yeah, I've stopped traveling with her because she takes the limelight away from me.
when you're running, or when you were walking now, what do you think about? Do you think about work? What do you do?
Yeah, that's interesting. I do some affirmations. Sometimes I plan my day. Sometimes I just think about what's happening. I also live on acreage, Joe. I've got an acre and a half here, and I've got a ride on mower.
Okay.
And so when I mow, that's my thinking time. And so it's a bit like that with the walking. Sometimes like it's almost like walking is a bit like a meditation for me. If I walk on my own, I kind of zone out, and it's just footfall one after the other kind of thing. And but a lot of times lately I've been walking with one of my speaker buddies, Sally Foley Lewis. Sally lives over the hill from me, about 10 minutes away. And so we we meet once or twice a week and just walk together and shoot the breeze and solve the problems of the speaking universe, you know?
And speaking of walking and walking and walking, you took a rather long walk this year with Paul Terwall, correct?
Yeah, correct.
Tell us, what was that? Because that was that's an interesting journey.
We walked the Portuguese Camino. So probably people are familiar with the term of walking the Camino. There are about six or seven different tracks that you can walk, and they all end up in Santiago de Compostela at the cathedral where allegedly the remains of St. James the Apostle are kept in the crypt beneath the altar. So we started in Porto in Portugal, and we walked 300 kilometres. I don't know what that is in miles. It's a long way. I described the adventure as exquisite fun and torture all at the same time. Joe, it was really hard work. I walked 6 days a week for months, carrying a full pack on my back, you know, rucksack, pack, I don't know what you guys call them.
Backpack, yeah.
Okay. In Europe, they're called rucksack.
Yeah.
I walked, you know, I did a lot of preparation, but nothing really prepared me for the journey. And it was a real mental game as much as a physical game. There were days we walked, 30 kilometres one day. That's 20-something miles. It was a bloody long way. And the last hour of that day, Joe, was absolute torture. I looked across at Paul and I could see him gritting his teeth. And we were literally putting one foot after the other, and every footfall was agony. I had blisters, my feet hurt, my body hurt. It was just hard work.
Yeah.
You know, physically and mentally challenging and thoroughly delightful at the same time.
Well, and people that know you, you are a hard worker, but also too, you're the relationship guy. So just share with us the coolest person you met and on your journey.
So I met Anna from Poland. Now, Anna was born in the Ukraine and she lives in Poland. She'd moved from Ukraine well before the war started. And Anna was walking the Camino. She's actually a biologist, qualified biologist. When COVID came, of course, she was confined to home, had to work from home. And it was very lonely and very depressing for her. So she took up pole dancing. And Anna was on the Camino trying to decide whether when she went home, whether she was going to continue her career in biology or take up her new career of pole dancing.
Okay.
Okay. And she said, pole dancing, it's a very elite sport, you know, it's very physical. I said, yes, I'm aware. But she had gone into competitions and won competitions, and I think the pole dancing she was doing probably isn't the pole dancing a lot of our listeners may be thinking about.
Yes. Yeah, not the kind that the cigar peg would judge.
Exactly, yeah.
Right, got it. So do you know what she ended up doing?
No, we parted ways. The last I saw her was in the town of Vigo on Good Friday at Easter this year. So I to this day, I don't know which way she went.
All right. Well, we'll keep watching the pole. I'll watch pole dancing sporting events. Yeah, just find her for you. Let me move into the back to the business world again. Do you have any new projects on your whiteboard or something that you're looking at going, this is what I'm starting this month?
Yeah, what I'm doing, it's an interesting one. You know, when COVID came, we were all forced to stay at home. I stopped speaking and training. I did eventually go back to virtual, but just between you, me and the gatepost, I hate virtual. I'm a face-to-face kind of guy. I would much rather be in a room of warm bodies and, you know, there's nothing better than seeing and hearing the applause and having people come and hug you afterwards. Anyway, so here's the story. Qantas, our national airline, and I were very good friends. I'm a platinum frequent flyer. I was forever on a plane. You know what, Joe? I don't miss it. And since we're now pretty much back to business as usual here, and I'm doing a national roadshow at the moment and I'm doing engagements. But what I've done, everything I speak about now pivots back to these assessment tools that I market. And so when I go and speak, I'm showcasing and drawing people's attention to these tools so that I can sign up more coaches, consultants, trainers, speakers who use them. Okay. And so my goal at this moment is to create more business there, which doesn't require me to get on a plane and be away from my family. And I'm in a wonderful place in life, Joe. I've got two adult children. They left home years ago. Yay! My daughter, my eldest, has two little boys, 5 and 1. My son, he has two little girls, 5 and 2. And Joe, grandchildren is the biggest blessing of your life, as you well know.
We know that. And,
I love being home now and hanging around with my grandkids. And so being, you know, jumping on a plane to fly to Sydney or Melbourne or somewhere and come home again the next day, it's kind of lost its shine a little. So my focus is on building the assessment business. That's what good. I'm doing.
That way, see, you say it out loud. Now we're going to hold you to it.
Let me
drift for a moment. I want to say, getting personal to the emotional side of Lindsay, do you consider yourself successful?
Yeah. I've had a pretty amazing career, Joe. I joined National Speakers. I became the chapter president. I became the national president. I've been the international president, the president of the Global Speakers Federation. I'm heavily involved still in the industry and service. I'm back on the board of the Australian Association. I've been the president of the Virtual Speakers Association just last year. And really exciting news, the Virtual Speakers Association is going to host the next Global Speaking Summit in Bali, Indonesia in 2024, 25th to the 29th of September. Put that in your diary, everyone.
What were those dates again?
The 25th to the 29th of September, 2024.
There we go. Okay.
On Australia Day in 2020, now Australia Day is like July 4th, okay? It's a big deal. The nation stops and we celebrate Australia. They have what they call the Australia Day Awards, which are awards handed out by the government to recognise people who serve the community. Well, on Australia Day 2020, I was awarded with a medal in the Order of Australia, OAM, and I'm really proud to have received that. And that was for my services to the professional speaking industry. So, Joe, that was like a pinnacle moment in my life. And here's what happens. It's apparently a two-year process. So Debbie worked with the guy who nominated me. Secretly, they were having clandestine meetings in coffee shops. You know, if they were caught by now, and you go, "Hey, what's going on here?" Anyway, in September 2019, I got an email from the Governor General's office. This is the highest, you know, realm of the land, saying, "You have been nominated for this award. Will you accept the nomination?" And my stomach did absolute backflips, Joe. And I hit print, and the printer is in Debbie's office down the other end of the house. I walked down, grabbed this piece of paper off the printer and put it in front of her and said, "Do you know anything about this?" And she goes, "Oh, yeah, been meaning to mention that."
I remember how excited you were. You're still talking to us.
Yeah. I had to keep quiet. From September through to January, it's like a moratorium. You're not allowed to say anything. So I'm all excited, but I can't say why. And so we had a little gathering at our house for Australia Day, and I just invited a bunch of friends around and said, "Look, we're just having some drinks to celebrate Australia Day between 3 and 5. Come on over." And some people went, "Yeah, I'd like that to be great." And others went, "What? And others said, "Oh, look, I'm busy, you know, okay." Joe, I drank my body weight in champagne that day. It was a hoot. And it was lovely to be surrounded by family and friends to celebrate. And it was just a pinnacle moment in my life, seriously.
No, that's something, and that's worthy of continued congratulations.
Yeah, thanks, Mark.
If the future led you to a financial and a physical opportunity to start any business you could, what would the business be?
Ooh, well, that is an interesting question. I don't know.
Wait, let's not go back to pole dancing, Lindsay.
I'm just thinking I could open a strip club. No. I don't know. I just love doing what I'm doing.
Okay.
I really fair enough.
Fair enough. And we love you doing it. Let me wrap for a minute because we're going to run out of time in a moment or two. So for the people that are listening, our fellow Cigar Peg people, what's the best way to get a hold of Lindsay Adams if they want to reach out to you and say, hey, I want to catch up?
Well, it's really complicated. I'll give you my email address. Listen carefully. It's lindsay@lindsayadams.com. Simplest way, of course.
Beautiful.
I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Facebook, you know, all that stuff. Yes. But or you can go to lindsayadams.com, the website, you know. By the way, there is a female comedian in America called Lindsay Adams, and she hates me because I got the .com before her.
Oh, that's funny. And I think I've stumbled when we were doing some stuff with your website. I found her. So, yes, I know who she is.
Yeah, she actually wrote a blog about me.
Oh, that's funny. My last question for you. Is there anything that you would love to share with Cigar Peg that I haven't asked you or that you think people might not know?
Look, you know, relationships rule, Joe. Think about, you know, the thing which I love about Cigar Peg is it's open to everyone and everyone's welcome. And we don't give a ratso. We don't care where you're from or what your religious beliefs are or what you know what I mean? And to me, that's relationship heaven. And I love, you know, my job in Cigar Peg is being the door bitch. Everyone knows I stand on the door and check to make sure you paid your money and whatever, you know, hug you or kick you as appropriate. But I love the community and all shapes, all sizes, all welcome. You know, there's some weird rumors go around about Cigar Peg and, you know, that we all run around naked or have satanic rituals or something or other in the Cigar Peg suite at convention. But hey, it's just a great, great group of people who, you know, hang together. And to me, that embodies the whole relationship thing.
So why am I raising this goat? I told me to raise a goat. Wait a minute.
Yeah, look, we'll come to that, okay?
All right, we'll get back to that later. Well, Lindsay, this has been a blast. Thank you for taking your time and spending it with us here in the Cigar Lounge. And everyone out there, this has been our mate from down under, Lindsay Adams, the door bitch, being interviewed by the Cigar Bitch in the Cigar Lounge. Thank you, Lindsay.
Thanks, Joe.
And we thank you, our listener members. Please join us every 2 weeks as we drop a new episode, placing another Cigar Peg member in the spotlight of the Cigar Lounge.